We've been in it for a while. We thought that we was going to roll through this, but we definitely taking our time and really seeing what it the importance of it. It's been a couple of months that we've just been on the first two, poor in spirit and mourn. So I'm just going to go ahead and recap, go over some things that we've done seen, I mean, that we've done heard and talked about. Maybe some of y'all had. Better? Sorry about that. So you might have seen some of these slides already, but let me hit the play button. Some of y'all might have never, so this might be your first time hearing them or seeing them, but we're going to go through them. You can't go through it enough. You go over it and over it and over because it means that much to you and it's so important. So the first three describes our need for God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We do not have what it takes to live for God. We don't have what it takes. We needed a Savior. We needed that Lamb. We needed Yeshua HaMashiach, that last Adam, that red heifer. We needed that. We needed him to do what he did to reconcile us back to the Father because we couldn't do it on our own. Number four, blessed are they that mourn, because seeing our inability, we become aware that our sins are many. Seeing our inability, we become aware that our sins are many. And that's, you can tie that to unleavened bread. Seeing our sins are many. And blessed are the meek, number five, which will be going starting on tomorrow. And that, I'm excited about that because, you know, you just, when you're studying that, you see the it's awesome. You see the things that's what it takes to be meek. Instead of defiance, because we do not have the ability to lead our life. When we try to lead our life, that's when you find that you don't have the ability to lead your life. You find yourself in trouble. You find yourself in a lot of chaos. So Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And how important is that one? Because to be poor in spirit is to poverty, is to realize when you measure yourself up to God, you know better than the next person sitting on side of you, no matter what you might think of them. And look what it says. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Being that beggar. Being that, you know, you might say, well, I don't feel like begging. But in this situation, you want to be a beggar. And you can imagine being a beggar. If you give somebody something and then they come back the next day, you might feel, man, what you doing here again? I just gave you something yesterday. But the Father don't never feel like that. When he sees you here again, I bet he's just smiling because you want more of him. And that's what he wants. He wants you here every day begging, Lord, I need you. Father, I need you. Every waking moment, I need you. He don't never say, oh, what you doing here again, Josh? No, he wants you right there every day begging at that doorpost. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. So you don't, not only do we have to, not only are you hearing it, you got to do it. Don't just hear his words, you got to be a doer of his words. And that's Yeshua. This is Yeshua's words right here. Poor in spirit means that you recognize your poverty before Elohim. Mean that you recognize that you are nothing when you compare yourself to him. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Yahweh sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Can you imagine that vision? And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. The trees, the universe, when you look up in the stars, the moon. I took a picture the other day and I sent it to Pastor because I seen his scriptures on his in the workout room. He's got scriptures with the, you know, different sunlights. And I said, wow, look at this. Maybe you can use this one. He said, it's just amazing how the Father just always paints a different picture every day. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, listen to what Isaiah said. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. That's poor in spirit. That's when you get right there, and that's when you're measuring yourself up to him. When you say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King Yahweh of hosts. For my eyes have seen the King Yahweh of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That's what he's wanting from us. When he says, who will go? I'll go, Father. Here am I. Send me. That willing vessel is all he's looking for. That willing vessel. Application. People who are poor in spirit give up the idea that Elohim owes them. People who are poor in spirit give up the idea that Elohim owes them. He don't owe us nothing. Not a thing. He owes us nothing. If we don't recognize him, you know what? He owes us debt, because that's all what we should have if it wouldn't be for his son. He don't owe us anything. People who are poor in spirit are not afraid to ask, not afraid to go back to that door. Poor, I'm here. I need you. Not afraid to ask every day. What you need, son? What you need? People who are poor in spirit are in a position to receive. People who are poor in spirit boast in the cross. Because if it wasn't for that cross, if we want to boast in something, that's what we need to boast in. Boast on in that cross. Because the price that we paid, his son gave his life. He gave his life for us. Psalms 34, 1 through 19. It says, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yahweh, and he heard me, and deliver me from all my fears. They looked unto me and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. All my sins he saved me from. He heard me. He heard this poor man cry. The angel of Yahweh encamped round about them that fear him, and delivered them. O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. O fear Yahweh, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's no want to them that shows him that reverential fear. That's not the fear of being scared. That's like just giving him the honor. That's that reverential honor that he deserves. That's the fear he's talking about. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek Yahweh will not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. What man is he that desire life and love it many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Don't get caught up in those conversations of just that's not Christ-like, you know, just that's not what the conversation that a believer should be in. The eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of Yahweh is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and Yahweh hear it, and deliver them out of all their troubles. Yahweh is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save it such as be of a contrite spirit. A broken heart, poor in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivered him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Poor in spirit means I am aware of my own needs and my own relationship with Yahweh. 2 Corinthians 13:5, and that's when you had that poor in spirit. When you had this is examine yourselves. That's 2 Corinthians 13:5. You're not measuring yourself up to others. When you measure yourself up to the Father, you're examining yourself. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self, how that Yeshua Messiah is in you, except ye be reprobates. So he's in you, except ye be reprobates. Poor in spirit is like a beggar who is always in the need of Yahweh's help. Always, every day, every morning, every soon as you wake up, all day long, Lord, I need you for to lead me, to guide me, for to put your hand of protection upon me, to watch what I say. Put the words in my mouth. I want to speak right about you. I need your help. Being poor in spirit is a life of perpetual dependence on Yahweh. We cannot and will not do anything without Yahweh's help, a perpetual dependence on Yahweh. A person who is poor in spirit is totally dependent on Yahweh through prayer. Totally dependent on Yahweh through prayer. Steady communicating with him. Steady in communication. How else you get to know him if you're not talking to him daily? If I would never speak to nobody in here, we would have a disconnect. We would never get to know each other. So through prayers, that's that communication with the Father. And that's what he wants. That's being poor in spirit. That's there every day at that gate, communicating with him, telling him how much you need him. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men sometimes need to pray. No, always. That men ought always to pray. Not just praying when things are going bad. How about praying to him when things are going good? Just to tell him how much you appreciate him, how much you love him, that things are going in your favor. And that's only because of him that things are going in your favor. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It's like breathing. You know, you can do it. You don't have to every You don't have to say long hours one. You know, that's the time for that when you, you know, that's when you can do that. But just throughout the day, thank you, Father. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. That's praying without ceasing. 1 Timothy 1, 11 through 17. According to the glorious good news of the blessed Elohim, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Messiah Yeshua, our master, who had enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our master was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Messiah Yeshua. And the grace of our master was exceeding abundant with faith and love. I thank him for his grace. Thank him so much for his grace. Without his grace, I would not be here if it wasn't for his grace. Abundant. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not whom I was chief, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Yeshua Messiah might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Elohim, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Holiness without brokenness, without poor in spirit, will make you a legalist. A legalist is quick to be judgmental to others. A person who is poor in spirit sees their need of Elohim first. And you can get so easy to get caught up in that if you're not watching. If you're not doing these things daily going through this course. Not just stopping, going through it daily, every day. After you do it, come back to the beginning, do it again. Because you don't want to get caught up in being judgmental to others. Well, I'm not acting like them. Or I'm not doing what they're doing. But a person who's poor in spirit sees their need of Elohim first. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. The poor in spirit lead people to genuine holiness. And I was going to put this, the book of this Job account, because I tell you, it was this Job of being poor in spirit was just a good eye opener, a good lesson, because you didn't see how he wasn't at first when you read it. You know how he wasn't poor in spirit, but what it was is Job was letting his circumstances be bigger than God. He was letting what he was going through was way bigger than that. What the adversary had put all in front of him was way bigger than what God can bring him out. And then you see Elihu came in there, and Elihu gave it to him. And then the Father, Yahweh, started questioning Job about a whole bunch of things. And I like what he said in 42, verse 1, because he finally got it. 1 through 5, it says, then Job answered Yahweh and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. In verse 5, he got it. He said, I have heard of thee by thine hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He finally got it. He knew that Yahweh, he had way more power than what Leviathan was throwing at him. He said, who's this Leviathan? He said, I played with him like a bird. He was trying to tell Job, I played with him like a bird. You think I can't? You think I don't have the power? I created him. Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's three kinds of mourning. What is this mourning that Yeshua says is blessed without qualification? There are three kinds of mourning: natural, sinful, and spiritual. And all of us in here can identify or those three had played a part in our lives. We all, natural mourning, we done lost a loved one. You done lost a friend, an uncle, a grandparents, a sister, brother. That's that natural mourning. Natural mourning is grieving for someone you have lost. And this is Yeshua. Even Yeshua, he dealt with natural mourning. John 11:32-36. Then when Mary was come where Yeshua was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Master, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Yeshua therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, that natural mourning. And said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Master, come and see. In verse 35, Yeshua wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Sinful mourning is pining for something Yahweh has not given you. Sinful mourning is pining for something Yahweh has not given you. And that can go both ways. That means if you have plenty and you see, which we're going to read on with Naboth, that story of Naboth in 1 Kings, he had a king who had everything and he wanted his little bitty old vineyard. He had it all, but yet he still wanted this little bitty vineyard. Then you get those that barely have stuff, and it's the same thing. You're sinful mourning. And you see somebody that's got a lot, and you're wondering why you don't have a lot, or you want what they got. So it can go both ways. You can either have a lot and still want somebody else's stuff, or you can have little and still want what someone who's got a lot has. 1 Kings 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, and was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Well, if you got one already better than mine, why you want mine? I mean, come on now. Sinful mourning. I want it just because I want it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. He wanted that vineyard. And Naboth said it to Ahab, Yahweh forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Listen, king, I know you want my vineyard, but you're not understanding something right here. I'm in a covenant with the King of Kings, and he's telling me, I forbid me to give it to you. I know you a king, and I know you want it, and I know you have all power to try to get it or whatever, but listen to me. The King of Kings is telling me, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't give it to you. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite has spoken to him. For he has said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So he first, right here, the first time he didn't say everything correct. because he didn't mention Yahweh. And then he's turned away his face and he would eat no bread. So he's acting like a little crybaby. You know, I would call him, stop acting like a little girl. That's what he's doing. He's pouting. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? He wouldn't even eat. I don't even know if I was, I'm pretty sure one time, a couple of times in my life, I probably was a crybaby. But never to where I wanted not to eat. I mean, come on now. I mean, oh, I love to eat. He was really feeling sorry for himself. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel and his wife said unto him, doest thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Are you not the king? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. So she took control. You know, you got some bold women sometimes out there that just, I'll do it. Give it, I'm going to show you. I'll get it for you. You little girl. Pretty sure that's what she probably told him. You ain't no man. Where's the man I married? And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him saying, thou didst blaspheme Elohim and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. An innocent man is about to die. They're lying on him. And she knew it. She knew it. That's why she said send two witnesses. Because she knew back then two witnesses, they had to stone him. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel has sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she has sent unto them, they proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme Elohim and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give to thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. He just didn't refuse for the money. That's not why. He couldn't. He said, Yahweh, forbid me. It's not even about the money. It's so past the money. So past whatever you wanted to give me. You don't understand. I can't break the covenant. I'm not going to be disobedient, even if it cost me my life. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, and Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. And the word of Yahweh came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, when the word goes to the prophet, the father done had enough. He told you he wouldn't do it because of me, and yet you had him killed. You lied and had him killed. And now I'm going to show you. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is going down to possess it. Behold, he is in the vineyard. Boy, I bet you when he stepped foot in that vineyard, Yahweh must have. Oh. But he's so good, because watch the end. His grace. His grace. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus say Yahweh, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith Yahweh, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, lick thy blood, even thine. In the street, that same street you just murdered that innocent man, where his blood lay and the dogs came in there and licked it, that's where the blood, your blood, the dog's going to lick your blood at. And Ahab said to Elijah, can you imagine being a prophet back in the day to go tell people this? Oh, man, I don't know if I want that job. Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of Yahweh. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy prosperity, and will cut off from Ahab him that urinates against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake Yahweh, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Yahweh was serious. He was serious. He said, the dogs are going to eat your wife by this wall. Listen, Naboth. You might have killed Naboth, but I'm here. Yahweh is still alive. You can't kill me. I'm a revenge for him. Him that died of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that died in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abundantly in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. He took those garments off and repented in sackcloth and ashes and watched the Father. His grace is so amazing. And the word of Yahweh came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see thou how Ahab humbled himself before me. Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. You still have repercussions for your actions. Even though he still humbled himself, and the Father honored that. He honored that he removed his garments and he humbled himself before Yahweh and put himself in sackcloth and ashes. He said, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. Spiritual mourning is sorrow over our sins against Yahweh. Spiritual mourning is sorrow over our sins against Yahweh. Yeshua has not promised to forgive one sin that you are not willing to forsake. He's promised to forgive every last sin if you're willing to give it up. What does spiritual mourning look like? Distinguish marks of spiritual mourning. Spiritual mourning arises from humility. Spiritual mourning is a matter of the heart. And spiritual mourning is infused with hope. Spiritual mourning arises from humility. You know, and that's kind of hard. You know, we don't want to humble ourselves. You know, when's the last time we got on our face, you know, before him and just humble ourselves? before the Father. And that's, we have, sometimes it's hard to do that. We find ourselves it's hard to do for believers. You know, we don't want to get down on the ground, or people might be watching, or, you know, I got good clothes on. He don't care about all that. Humble yourself before me. Spiritual mourning follows naturally from becoming poor in spirit. When you see that you do not have what it takes, you will mourn over the sins that are yours and mourn over the righteousness that you do not have. They'll mourn over the sins that are yours. They're our sins. But yet he died for our sins. He didn't have no sin. He who knew no sin died for our sins. And we should mourn over that. Spiritual mourning is a matter of the heart. You might not be able to tell the difference between spiritual mourning and natural mourning in another person, but you can tell the difference in your own heart. You can tell the difference in your own heart. People can put on a show, and you can think that they're spiritually mourning. You know, when you see them down here and they're crying and weeping, and you can't tell. But in your own self, you can tell. You can tell in your own heart. 1 Samuel 15, number 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Yahweh. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he lay wait for them in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and women, infant and sucklings, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in to Lamb, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Go and smite all of them. Hearken to the voice of the Lord. Hearken to the voice of Yahweh. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay wait in a valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart. Get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For he shewed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. He took the king alive. He wasn't supposed to take nobody. He was supposed to destroy everything. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Samuel, saying, another prophet. Here goes that word again. The father done had enough. You disobeyed my order. It repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me and had not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. You can't imagine that feeling. Having to go tell this, what I'm about to go tell him. Yeah, you talk about grieve. You're probably going to grieve. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is going about and pass on and going down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of Yahweh. I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. He should have known better. The prophet is coming to meet you. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? I hear them. I'm not supposed to hear these animals. You supposed to just destroy all of them. But I hear them. But you, what Saul says, oh, I perform the commandment of Yahweh. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. I didn't do it. I'm the king, but they did it. Them people. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahweh thy Elohim. That's why we took it. We took it to sacrifice to Yahweh thy Elohim. He's trying to justify what he did. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what Yahweh has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Well, yeah, you're going to tell him to say on, because he's just told he's going to tell you what Yahweh said to him. But I bet you broke out in sweat. It probably got hot real quick. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel. And Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yahweh, but didst fly upon a spall and didst evil in the sight of Yahweh? When you don't obey his voice, you're doing evil in the sight of Yahweh. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil. The people did it. He made me king over all the people, but they did it. Took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh thy Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, had Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? You can't sacrifice the best animals without blemish in the best that anybody ever raised up in the best pastures than obeying my voice. I don't want them sacrifices. Just obey my voice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he had also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Okay, now it looked like he's about to mourn. He's about to be sorry for what he did. He's mourning. He's about to go in mourning for his sins. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Yahweh and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship Yahweh. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, Yahweh hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now that I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship Yahweh thy Elohim. He wasn't mourning. He wasn't sorry for what he did. He was sorry that he got caught. That's what he was sorry for. When you're sorry, you're not going to say, oh, I have sinned, yet honor me now and pray thee before the elders of my people. You're not, that's no humility right there. You're not humbling yourself before the Father. He wasn't sorry. He was sorry he got caught. That's what he was sorry for. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped Yahweh. Then said Samuel, "Bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of debt is past." He thought he was gone free. He was getting ready to be released. But Samuel had something in store for him. And Samuel said, "As thy sword had made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women." And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. That's what Saul was supposed to do. You're supposed to destroy Agag, not take him. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Yahweh repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Spiritual mourning is infused with hope. Spiritual mourning is infused with hope. Judas grieved over his sin in betraying Yeshua, but he did not have spiritual mourning. Why? His grief led him to despair. His grief led him to had him believing that there was no hope for what he did. That's leading him into despair. Grief that leads to despair is the work of Satan and not the Holy Spirit. Grief that leads to despair, because listen, there's hope in Yeshua HaMashiach. There's hope. You know, and that's the enemy wants you to, when you slip, when you make a mistake, that's how he wants you. He starts attacking that mind because he wants you to think that there's despair right there, that there's no hope for you. You done messed up again. There's no hope for you. No, get back to poor in spirit. Get back. When you slipped off a morning, I'm sorry for what I did, but you got to go back to poor in spirit. Father, I need you. I'm sorry. I messed up again. There is hope. There is hope. Satan brings you to despair of self, but he never brings you to hope in Messiah. The Holy Spirit brings you to despair of self and to hope in Messiah. That's how you tell the difference between what the devil is trying to do in your life and what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Hope is a signature mark of spiritual mourning. Hope is a signature mark of spiritual mourning. The true Christian continues to say, "O wretched man that I am." But he doesn't end there. His spiritual mourning is infused with hope. So he says, "Thanks be to Elohim who has given me the victory through Yeshua Messiah, our master." Thanks be to Elohim that has given me the victory through Yeshua Messiah, our master. Romans 7:24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" 1 Corinthians 15:57. Let's answer it, because that was the question. "But thanks be to Elohim, which giveth us the victory through our Master Yeshua Messiah." Who gives us the victory? Thanks be to Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah. The true Christian says with Paul, "I am the chief of sinners." But she does not end there. Spiritual mourning is infused with hope. And she says, "By the grace of Elohim, I am what I am." 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace of Elohim, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of Elohim, which was with me." But listen to that middle part. That middle part is so powerful. "And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." His grace was not in vain. True Christian mourns their sins, but they never end up there. Our spiritual mourning is infused with hope. And so we lay hold of the comfort that is in Christ. Without that, it's not spiritual mourning. It's just the devil trying to make you despair. It's just the devil trying to lie to you and tell you there's no hope. There's no hope. But the Holy Spirit comes and tells you there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. My son didn't die for nothing. My son didn't die for nothing. And that was it. That's all I have. So just see how important it is that you go through this obstacle course every day, day after day. You don't just stop once you don't reach the end and just I'm done. No, you go back. You go back to poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is so important. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. And just to mourn over your sins, to humble yourself and just to mourn, to be really be sorry. Don't be sorry like Samuel was. Saul. He was sorry because he got caught. He wasn't sorry for his sins, what he did. He wasn't sorry for disobeying the father. He was sorry because he got caught. And you can get so caught up. But if we live this out and we go through it every day, there's that hope. We have that hope, and I thank him for that hope. He's so good. I thank him for his grace. And tomorrow we're going to start on meekness, and I'm excited about meekness. It's going to be good. You want to be here. You want to be here. Amen. Thank y'all. Anybody has anything? Good. Well, you're dismissed. I see y'all in the morning. Amen.